This is the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray, episode 250.
Welcome to the Soulful PR Podcast. Tune in every week for practical tips, strategies, and case studies that will help you get media coverage for your business. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
Hello, and welcome to the show. In this episode, I'm going to be talking about how to use email marketing to promote live events. But actually, even if you don't have any live events planned in the future, then I think if email marketing is something that you're interested in upping your game on, you still will get lots of useful tips in this episode. So do keep listening. Now, before we get to the main part of the show, I just wanted to remind you about the live event that I'm running in July in London. So that's July 2018, if you're listening in the future. So my event is called Media Influence Live. It's a two-day event on July the 5th and 6th, and it's your opportunity to get in a room for the day with high-profile journalists and influencers. So we've got speakers from The Guardian, from BBC, from ITV's Good Morning Britain, from Grazia magazine, from The Sun's Fabulous magazine, and also I've got Emma Gannon, who is the host of the Control-Alt-Delete podcast, which is a really, really successful podcast. Also got a successful YouTuber, Jessica Dante. I've got Jessica Lorimer, who's going to be talking about sales. I've got Andrew and Pete, who are going to be talking about how to pitch yourself and get anyone to say yes to you. So if you're really interested in upping your game in terms of media influence, so if you'd like to be featured in high-profile newspapers, magazines, radio and TV, but also you're interested in getting featured on high-profile podcasts and blogs and also YouTube channels, then this is the event for you. Now, if you've been to my events before, you'll know that it's not one of those kind of events. Well, certainly I don't run the kind of events where you turn up and you sit and listen to the speakers and then they go off again. I ask all of my speakers to sit with delegates, and I also make sure they're around all day or all over the 2 days so that you can ask them any questions and you can basically start to build a relationship with them. So one of the most popular parts of the event is the speed networking session that we run in the afternoon. So I get every speaker to sit on a different table and I get them to rotate round, and you get about 10 minutes with each speaker in your group, which means you get to meet every single speaker, introduce yourself, ask questions, talk about your business, as well as over breaks and lunch. So if you are really keen to build your media influence and you would like more personalized one-to-one attention, then you may well want to come along as a VIP delegate. So I do know that it's a big investment of your time and money to come along to a live event, which is why I'm happy to answer any questions that you've got about the event. So just drop me a line on janet@janetmurray.co.uk and me and my team will get back to you as soon as we can and help you out with your question. And now on with the main part of the show. So in this episode, I'm going to be talking about how to use email marketing to promote your live events. I'm going to be sharing 7 tips with you. And actually, even if you don't have any live events coming up, these tips can be applied to the launch of any product or service. You still will get lots of practical tips that you can start using straight away in this episode. So do keep listening. So my first tip is to be realistic. Now, if you're a regular listener to the show, you've probably heard this stat several times before, but the average conversion rate for online sales is about 1% to 2%. So that means for every 100 people that you have on your email list, probably only a couple are going to buy from you. Now, depending on your audience and how you look after your list, you may find that your conversion rate is higher. Actually, for some products and services, we've converted up nearer 10%. But particularly when you're starting out, I think it's important to be realistic and look at the industry average, because otherwise you can end up being disappointed and you can also end up setting yourself really unrealistic expectations, which can be really damaging to your self-esteem. And I did actually touch on this back in episode 248 when I talked about how to use social media to promote live events, and also episode 246, how to make money out of live events. And I did talk about being realistic when you're just starting with live events. So it's better to start off with a small workshop or gathering and try and get 10 people in a room just to start off with. You can always scale up, but I do see lots of small business owners who come to me and say they're putting on a live event and they want to sell 100 tickets. And when I say, how many people have you got on your email list? They say, well, either I don't have a list or maybe I have a couple of hundred. And if you think about that conversion rate of 1-2%, then if you only have a few hundred people on your list or you don't have many at all, then where are you going to sell all those tickets? Where are all those sales going to come from? And if you haven't yet listened to episode 248 on how to use social media to promote your live events, I make the point very, very clearly in that episode that you can't rely on social media to sell tickets to live events. That's the place where you remind people, where you raise awareness, you build excitement, but the place where you're going to make the sales is in people's inboxes. So that's why it's so important that you start off realistic. So if you're just putting on your first live event, then put something on where you get 5 or 10 people in a room. You can scale up to hundreds when you have a bigger audience, but otherwise you're going to find it really, really hard. So just make sure that your email list matches the size of your ambitions. So my second tip would be to use engaging subject lines. So I think there are 7 types of subject line that work really well for email marketing. And of those 7, there's some that are particularly effective. So the first is asking a question. The second is the surprising statement. The third one is the call to action. The fourth one is the why headline. The fifth one is the how-to. And the sixth is the testimonial. And the seventh is the direct approach. I'll just give you a few quick examples. So the question headline, so one that worked really well for me was, is this bullying? That was a really, really good headline for me. And I'll talk more about why that worked so well in a second. The other one is the surprising statement. So this is awkward. That's an email subject line that I used recently. And I think we had about a 50% open rate on that one. The call to action, so that's where you say something like, do this if you want to make more sales in your business. The fourth one, the why, so why you should be doing more organic posting on social media. That's probably not a great headline, but that'll give you an idea of the kind of, you know, why your social media isn't working. That's probably a good why type of subject header. Number 5 is the straight how-to, so how to stop procrastinating was one that worked really, really well for me. The next type, number 6, is testimonial, so how this lady earned £1,000 in her first month of business, something like that. And I've got a few examples that I've used that I can share with you. And the direct headline. So that's the one where you basically say, tickets that go on sale today. I use those ones very, very infrequently because they just don't work. People are busy. They have got hundreds of emails coming into their inboxes. So if you want them to open your email and you want them to read what you've got to say, and then you want them to go and click and have a look at whatever it is that you're selling, now that's a lot of steps that people have got to take. If you've got a boring subject header, then they're just not going to take that journey with you. So just to give you a few examples of some of mine that have worked really well. So is this bullying? A question type headline that worked really well for me. And I'll talk to you about where that came from in a second. And this is awkward. So that's a surprise style headline. That's one that I used recently and worked really well. How to make 1K in a morning. That's a testimonial style subject header. And I used that one recently, had a really good open rate. About that stroppy email. So that's what I call a surprise headline because people are kind of like, well, what about that stroppy email? And they may think for a second that you mean them, that they sent you a stroppy email. So that style can work really, really well. Another one that worked really well for me recently, you plus me equals afternoon tea. And we had a little question mark after that. You might remember seeing that one if you're on my list. So I used that subject header when I was announcing my charity prize draw that I held a few weeks ago for my London Marathon fundraising. And one of the prizes was an afternoon consultation with me and afternoon tea. So that got a really good open rate. Another one, the event I attended that made me 15,000. That one got a really good open rate as well. That's a testimonial headline, but it's also got an element of surprise. And what you'll probably find with the headlines that work really well from you, and sorry, I do mean subject headers. I'm kind of flitting between headlines and subject headers. That's probably the journalist in me. Because for me, an email subject header is a headline because it is the phrase that will either grab somebody's attention or will not grab their attention, so they'll skip by. So a headline is really, really important. It's the one-liner, it's the one opportunity that you've got to grab somebody's attention and get them to open the email and go further on the journey with you. So my next tip is to stop worrying about being pushy, spammy, silly, or using clickbait. I'm going to give you a little bit of tough love here. I've had some of my clients say to me, look, I can see that you're using those kind of really grabby headlines, Janet, and I can see that they work for your emails. You get really good open rates, but that's not for me. I don't like those kind of headlines. They just don't work for me, and I can't use them. What I say to my clients who say this to me is, well, look, you've got a choice here. Do you want to make sales or do you not want to make sales? Now, the reality is, if you just send out an email about your event that says the title of your event, when it's happening, book now, or something like that, you're going to get a very, very low open rate and a very low engagement rate because you're just not grabbing anyone's attention. Now, the only exception in which I would send out that kind of email is when I just put tickets on sales and Media Influence Live, which I'm running in London on July 5th and 6th, 2018, if you're listening in the future. So we had quite a build-up to the tickets going on sale for that event. We had a waiting list. So on the day that the tickets went on sale, we had some people who were on the wait list, we'd already warned them and said, we're going to put them on sale on this day. If you want to grab one of these goodies, or I can't remember what the incentive we offered was, but we basically offered an incentive. We said, it's going to be available on this day. So when people got that email, they were excited because they wanted to book their ticket. They wanted to be the first in the queue. But I think you can't routinely use those headlines because they're just boring and they just don't grab people's attention. So if you're the kind of person that's saying, look, you know, I see what you're saying here, Janet, and I can see what you mean, and I like your headlines, they work for you, but they wouldn't work for me, then I do think you need to give yourself a reality check and you need to rethink this, because it's basically the difference between making sales and not making sales. Now, that's not to say that you have to use the kind of headlines that I use. And also, I do think that with email marketing, there's a sense that you do need to develop over time, and you will get braver over time, and you'll get to understand what works with your audience. And, you know, we've all got different audiences, and you'll find that some kinds of headlines work better with your audience than, you know, maybe wouldn't work with mine or whatever. But the central theme here is it's got to grab people's attention. And I really don't care who your audience is and what kind of business you've got and how sensitive you think they might be. We all respond to things that grab our attention. And it's just finding out how to do that in a way that really resonates with your audience. But I think if you're saying things like, I can't use those kind of headlines, then you're just making excuses. And you may not want to hear that. But seriously, if you want to make sales, you've got to find a way of grabbing people's attention. It may not be in exactly the same way that I do it. It might take you a little bit of time to work up to maybe using some of the kind of headlines that I use for my emails. It may well be that you need to tweak the approach slightly for your audience, but you do need to do it. If you're not prepared to grab people's attention, then you're going to see very low sales on your email marketing. So my next tip would be that everything is content. So if you're a regular listener to the podcast, you've probably heard me say this before, but everything that happens to you in your personal life, in your business, is content that you could use to engage with your audience. So I actually even use content. So if somebody sends me a mean email or something happens in my business, which is, I know people will care about, I know they'll have an opinion on it, then I can turn that into content for my email marketing. I'm just going to run through a few examples of where I've done this. So one piece of email marketing that worked really well for me was, is this bullying? And I would call that a question style headline, but also it's a surprise in star headline, and you will find there's a lot of crossover between the different types because it makes people think, I don't know, I want to open this email and I want to find out. So basically, I had somebody that emailed me in response to another piece of email marketing, and they said that they didn't like my style and they didn't like what I was saying, and it was putting them off me. And they basically said that what I was doing was bullying. So I thought about this and I kind of thought, well, actually, I really disagree with them. It's not for them. And I think this is an important thing about how we engage with our customers and how we build our audience. You know, not everybody is for everybody. And you will find that, you know, there is, I think, some truth in the idea that marketing is about attracting and repelling. And there will be some people who love you and love what you do and love your products and services, but there will be some people who you're just not their cup of tea. And I think that's absolutely fine. And email marketing actually can be really good in terms of sorting the wheat from the chaff. So what I did was I turned this content. I didn't name the lady. I didn't give any specifics about who she was and what she was saying, but I basically turned it into a piece of content and said, look, this is important for you to know because this is a lesson about email marketing. And basically, in this particular email, I talked about what I just shared with you a few moments ago. We you know, you can say that you're sensitive about sending out rabby email subject headers or things that people get people's attention, but that's what makes sales. And we see it consistently over and over again in the stats. The stats don't lie. When we use a grabby email subject header, something that gets people's attention, then not only do we get a great open rate, but we also get a great click-through rate and a great sales rate, basically. So the numbers don't lie. And I turned that into a piece of content, which was actually a really interesting conversation point. I got a lot of replies, personal replies from people when I sent that email out. And they said, you know, thank you for saying this. And they had questions. And so for me, it was a great way to engage my audience. I turned it into another piece of email marketing. One that I sent out recently, this is awkward, and this is what I would call a surprise start email. And this is something that I really wanted to get across in my email marketing for my live event, Media Influence Live, is we do have kind of quite strict cutoff deadlines about our event ticket prices. So we have super early bird tickets, we have early bird tickets, and then we have last minute tickets. And one thing that we're really strict on is making sure that if we say that the super early bird ends at Monday at 9 a.m, then it does, and we don't let people slip through. And the reason for that is I really believe that trust is the most important thing in your business. And so if somebody was to come to one of my events and they, in good faith, had paid £500 for a ticket for an event, but the person sat next to them had only paid £400 because they'd missed a deadline and they begged for an extension and we'd let them off, well, you know, that other customer, the one that paid full price, might well lose trust in us and lose trust in the business. And for me, it's more important that you keep the trust of those people you're already doing business with rather than try and bend the rules for new customers. So I had an incident where somebody was quite kind of forceful about asking for a discount code that had expired and was quite kind of pushy about it. And I turned that into another piece of email marketing, which was just reminding the rest of my audience that if they wanted to get the super early bird price, then they needed to make sure that they met the deadlines and this was why. So, everything's a content opportunity, which is one of the things that I love so much about marketing. So another example of how I've used an experience in my business to create a really popular piece of email marketing content was an email that we sent out, which was entitled About That Stroppy Email. So just to give you the context, I'd had somebody who joined my membership and they weren't happy. It was one of those situations where we'd had some crossed wires over emails about booking in a consultancy session. And it was just one of those things, a meeting was supposed to happen, it didn't happen. And this person was kind of very unhappy about it. We were very polite and we were very accommodating, but the tone of the emails that we were getting were really not very nice at all. And I'll talk more about this as we go, but I don't get too many really, really stroppy emails. But every time I do get a really nasty email from somebody, I always think to myself, did they realise what the impact of that email is? Because if they send me a sarcastic email, send me a mean email, a spiteful email, the first thing I do is I go and look at their website, I look at their social media profiles, and their name gets lodged in my head for all the wrong reasons. And I think it's really important that none of us forget. And, you know, I'll be the first person to admit that I've made mistakes over email in the past. You know, we're all guilty of it, I think. But I think what we do need to remember is that every email that we send out, even when we think that we're not talking to our prospective customers, it's basically PR. And if we're being spiteful or mean in emails to people, it doesn't matter who it is, it's a small world and you never know who might get to hear about how rude you were on an email. So I use this to inspire a blog post, which I'll link to in the show notes, which is called This Is What I Think When You Send Me a Stroppy Email. And it actually has some practical tips on what to do when you feel like sending out that stroppy email and what you should do instead. So I turned that into a piece of email content and also a blog. I sent it out and I got so many responses in return. And I'll share some of the responses that I got a little bit later in the episode. But so much support, so much engagement from people because they could see that it was an issue that they'd experienced. In many cases, they'd experienced it too. It had hurt them and they'd been bewildered and upset by it. And so a lot of people came back and engaged with me over that. So that was turning an experience, that's something that had happened to me, and turning it into a piece of content, which can be a great way to approach your email marketing and often also gives you really great subject headers. So about that stroppy email, it works really well. It did work really well because I think people opened it because they were like, hang on a minute, I didn't send a stroppy email. What are you talking about? And they wanted to know what I was talking about. And that's probably the best response I've ever had to a piece of email marketing that I've done. So that worked really, really well, that one. So my next tip is to sign up to other people's email lists to get ideas. Now, I'm not suggesting for a moment that you copy other people, but I get a lot of inspiration from seeing how other people who are better at me than email marketing, how they approach email subject headers. So a few people I would look at who are really good. So Matthew Kimberley, who I interviewed back in episode 57, he's a sales expert. He is brilliant at email subject headers, but also his emails are an absolute delight to read. He's so clever. Nadia Feiner, who I interviewed back in episode 113 about how to write non-spammy marketing emails. That's a great episode to listen to, by the way, but she also sends really, really good marketing emails as well and great subject headers, so it's worth studying her. Another person I like is Gabrielle Bernstein. I haven't had her on the podcast yet. I would like to have her on the podcast at some point, but definitely worth having a look at her. But I think it's really important just to spend a little bit of time each week looking at how people are using email marketing, what subject headers they're using, and take inspiration. You might find a header that you could just make a tweak. Maybe you could tweak a couple of words, or you could even just take the whole thing. But because you have a completely different audience, a completely different kind of business, it may well still work. So this is not about stealing people's ideas or copying people's copy. It's just about taking things that clearly work. So if you find that you've opened an email and you've thought, wow, that's a really great piece of content, then that's a good sign that you should probably look at it for your own email marketing. So my next tip is to send more emails than you feel comfortable with. Seriously. Most business owners I know are so scared about email marketing. They're so scared of sending that extra email. But people are busy. They get a lot of emails, like hands up. Like, this is so true. But every time I do a launch, we get at least 5 or 10 emails from people who say, I had no idea that you launched this event or this product or this course or that your membership was open at the moment. And we look and we may have sent them like 10 emails or something like that, but they're busy and they've just missed them. So don't be afraid to send that final reminder email. Don't be afraid to go back. And if you're using your email marketing software smartly, you should be able to see which people have clicked and are actually interested in your product or service. So go back to them and say, look, I noticed that you've been checking out this particular product, service, event, whatever it is, and just wondered if you've made a decision yet, or is there anything else that I can do to help you make a decision? And that really is the key thing. When you're sending people that extra email, you're not being a pest. What you're doing is you're helping them to make a decision. So let me just repeat that again. When you send emails, marketing emails, you're not being a pest. You're helping people to make a decision. Lots of us struggle with making decisions. We will leave it until the last minute and we end up missing out on discounts. We end up missing out on bonuses. So you're actually helping people. You may be helping them to make the decision not to buy your event, not to buy your course, whatever it is that you're selling. But actually, you've done that person a favor because you've actually taken them to the point where they need to make a decision. So never feel embarrassed about that. Now, the last thing I want to say is please don't worry about haters. So I want to share an interesting stat with you. So I have 2 folders in my inbox. So the first folder I have is called Nice Things, and I have 327 emails in there from people who've emailed me lovely things about my content, my podcast, my blog, anything else that I'm up to. I also have a haters folder in my email inbox. Now, I've got in that one, I think I've got about 47 emails in the haters section. And when I went through them earlier, actually, most of them were people who have signed up to my email list and are complaining about getting too many emails. And when I looked at most of them, the reason they were getting too many emails was because they'd signed up under multiple email addresses. And this is really common. So if somebody buys a book or a diary and they pay with PayPal or something like that, then we'll end up with 2 email addresses for them. And that's easily sorted out. And if they just email back and say, I've noticed I've been getting quite a lot of emails, can you have a look at it? Then that's absolutely fine. They go in the haters folder if they send a kind of stroppy style email about it. But 47, if you think about it, and actually I could only pick out 5 that I thought were really, really horrible. And I'm going to share 3 with you. So if you think about it statistically, all those lovely, lovely emails and just a very small proportion are haters. And like I say, even only a tiny, tiny percentage of the people that we put in the haters folder are actually really, really haters. So I'm just going to read out to you some of the nice emails that I picked out. I went through my inbox earlier. This is from my Nice Things folder. Just wanted to say how impressive and inspirational it is to read the value that you bring to other businesses and business owners. Here's another example. Your content is such a gift. Thank you so much. Next one. I'm so glad I found your Facebook group. It is head and shoulders above the others I have joined. Next one. Thank you for your emails. They always appear in my inbox at the right time and are so well written that I feel my brain has a holiday reading them. I take 5 and I feel great from it. Next one. Thank you for all the time and the great content that you share. I think you're brilliant and provide some incredibly useful information. Next one, you give away so much for free. Your business is single-handedly changing the lives of thousands, not exaggeration, of people for free. Now, some of those actually came, and that this is out of 337. I just picked out some that were in the kind of first section of my inbox. Some of those actually came in response to my email marketing about the root emails, interestingly enough. So the email that I sent entitled about that stroppy email, some of those particular nice comments came off the back of that. So now I'm going to just share with you three mean comments that I've picked out of my inbox. And I actually had to search quite hard for these really mean ones. Number one, stop emailing me, please. They are so patronizing. Number two, given you're meant to be an experienced copywriter, that strikes me as pretty threatening rather than engaging in terms of your subject line. Number three, you are certainly going to lose customers at this rate, particularly as your pitch is that you're offering practical advice and know-how. And I just think to myself, what kind of person would send that email? What kind of person would send a spiteful email to somebody that they don't really know, or maybe that they do even know? And I think it says much more about them than it says about me. I'm not saying that you shouldn't take people's feedback on board. Of course, if people email and saying they get loads of emails, then you do need to think about that. But actually, those examples that I've shared with you are probably pretty spiteful, grumpy people who I wouldn't want to do business with anyway. And I'm not going to lose any sleep over those people at all. So I hope you found that useful and insightful. As ever, I do love hearing from you. So do drop me a line on janet@janetmurray.co.uk, or you can tweet me at @Jan_Murray. You can find me over on Instagram at @JanMurrayUK or on Facebook at @JanetMurrayUK. Thanks for listening. And if you enjoyed the show, don't forget to subscribe on iTunes or wherever you're listening right now. And also don't forget about my podcast guide. So this lists all of my podcast episodes to date. They're categorized by theme. So whatever challenge you're facing in your business, then you should be able to find a podcast episode, or in fact, several, to help you solve your problem. And you can get that at janetmurray.co.uk/podcast guide. So that's janetmurray.co.uk/podcast guide.